It's time for the 4th Street Sports Show, an award-winning program dedicated to all things Southern Miss athletics. If they're playing it, we're covering it. Sports Show brought to you by Southern Miss Student Media here in College Hall. This is kind of like the new branding we're doing for 4th Street Sports. We're now the 4th Street Sports page on the SM2.com site, and we're brought to you by Southern Miss Student Media. You can go to Southern Miss Student Media to find all news, all opinions, all analytics on Hattiesburg, the life in Hattiesburg, news in Hattiesburg, news on Southern Miss's campus. But we're not here to talk about news. We're here to talk about sports. This is why we are on the 4th Street Sports Show, to talk about sports. I'm Dean Mixon, your host, alongside my co-host, Jackson Kennedy. Jackson, we've sweated it out 4 days in a row. This podcast, we're going to go through fall camp, kind of give you some names that kind of stood out to us. And at the end, we're driving the bus today. We're driving the bus. Put on your taillights on, and
you've never seen a bus in your life. You were homeschooled. Don't start talking about buses. Good lord. The taillights, everything has a taillights if it has a wheels. Anyways, yes, what a camp. As you can tell, Dima and I are closer than ever before. Literally.
Or huddled around my computer because, well, number one, I forgot my podcast mic. And number two, I didn't record our videos on the field. Number three, we're trying to figure out how to get both of our podcast mic plugged into my laptop. So it's going to be weird audio until we figure that out. And
until we get into the studio.
Or until we get in the studio, which those mics aren't really going to be there. But, but yeah, so we're huddled up. We're like cuddling. I don't know.
It's awesome.
Jackson, I feel bad.
Why do you feel bad? Oh, wait. I know why you feel bad. And you're going to tell the podcast listeners before you tell the person that I have told you for 2 days straight to apologize to. 2 days straight, I have told you to apologize to this person. Mm. And you haven't. So
there just hasn't been an opportunity.
Okay, well, I think for Monday fall camp, I will be working Monday fall camp, but you need to ask to interview him one-on-one, or I can come be there for emotional support.
Emotional support.
But you need to be there because, Dima, do you want me to tell them what happened, or do you?
I think I'm not worthy enough to say.
I mean, I feel like it'd be good coming from the horse's mouth, but I can tell. So yesterday at practice, you know, Dima and I are doing what student journalists are supposed to do. Well, we are watching practice. And, you know, I don't like to be there wasting people's time. So if something happens, I ask the trainers, I'm like, hey, do you want me to grab that for you? Hey, do you need help? Whatever. I like being a little helpful fella. And Dima's like, yeah, let's do that. And so something came over him. And so Jacarius Caston ended up dropping a pass or something like that happened, and it rolled, and he fell down. He just kind of sat there for a second, and he got up. And the ball rolled towards Dima and I where we were standing. And in my head, I was like, you know what, let's just throw it to Jet. Just like, hey, one, I got you. Toss it to him, right? And that's what I thought in my head was supposed to happen. And I don't know what short circuit happened, but Dima was like, hey, I'm just going to throw it underhand in his general direction. And Christ almighty, it was not in his general direction.
I was aiming at his feet.
You were aiming at his feet. It landed like 4 feet to the left and then rolled. And then the coaches, like, and then you know, he just stood up.
I don't think he saw the ball.
He didn't see the ball at all. And then his coaches started yelling at him for leaving the ball on the field because someone almost tripped over it. And then he had to go get the ball and then throw it to the person that he needed to. And then they made him do push-ups. And Dima's just standing there laughing. And I'm standing there mortified. I'm like, oh my God, that just happened. And Dima's just over here laughing about it. And I was like, dude, you need to go up and apologize to him like right now. He was like, yeah, I really need to apologize. Okay, then do it. And then today,
yeah,
we were like, "Hey, Dima, you should go apologize." He's like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah."
I have not apologized yet. You know, I would rather Mother Nature apologize to me for us having to sweat out 105 degree weather and die.
Okay, and I think the point that Dima is missing is that these guys were also sweating it out in pads. All right, we have no room to talk. We have no room to talk or complain. but yes, this exists as putting it out into the ether to hold on Twitter, hold Dima accountable.
By I know Jackson's gonna clip this clip from the crop this clip out from the podcasting platforms and just tweet it out and tag Jacarius in it or something.
If there is not an apology by after practice on Tuesday, you will see this clip on Twitter. And it will just be a public call-out post. It'll be a call-out post. And then after that, if there's no apology, by the time I finish working for the week and come back on Thursday, Friday, I will come with a Windex bottle full of vinegar. And just like how you have to just like train cats. Like, hey, Dima, you should really do this. Mm. But... You know,
I think it should just be like a running joke the whole season.
I don't think it should be. I think you should just apologize. However, getting into the real,
let's football, actually go into. We just spent 6 minutes on that. This is kind of the state of the mind we're in. You know, we've been, but what is great is we have a lot of data to cover. We're going to be probably on here a while. We have three main areas of topic, and then we do have one silly topic at the end that we want to get into. I feel like, you know, Jackson, I've been, you know, listening to the past couple of podcasts. We haven't been able to have a lot of silly banter, you know, so we're going to have a silly segment at the end. It's just a general question and we're going to debate it on here. We like to have that because we like to hear all to kind of be a little bit more personal with us. But if you don't want to hear that, then at the end you can just turn it off. So that's why we put it at the end instead of like here in the middle. But I feel like, you know, Jacarius Caston might have been the silly part too. let's start with this. Jackson Howell, I sent out a question for fan thoughts for questions. We got two questions. One from Jackson Howell, who's actually a former host on the show. He asked, could you see Southern Miss and Delta State going to the ACC? I'm assuming that is a complete
ACC or AAC?
ACC. I'm assuming this is a joke from the great Jackson Howell. You are the second great Jackson, but he's the great Jackson.
There is no comparison. I got to hang out with him like 1.5 times, and I was like, yeah, no. No comparing. Don't pull up that screenshot. That's such a good picture of him.
Yeah. Let's just say, for the sake of the podcast, no.
Yeah.
And there's not much more to say about that. So, sorry, Jackson, we're not going to answer your question in depth. All right, let's go to the QB battle, because that's what everybody wants to be talking about. We handle these on our videos after practice. Each time Jackson and I are there, we try to get a video out on our YouTube page. You can go look at it, Southern Miss Student Media. And we talk about who won each day of the quarterback battle. Today's day 4. Jackson, out of the 4 days, who's ahead?
Well... This has been such a weird quarterback battle. And by weird, I just mean, I guess I was expecting there to be a clear one. You know what I mean? I was expecting it to be like, oh, you know, it's kind of close, but this guy's way ahead. Or, oh, it's kind of close, but this guy's better in this situation, and they're similar in one situation, so obviously it's this guy. But Dima, it really hasn't been that, you know? Day one, Holman Edwards looked pretty good. Day two, who looked better? Because I was not there. Holman looked better day one and day two. Day three, Billy looked better in the short yardage package, and Holman looked great throwing deep balls. And that's pretty much, like, Holman really didn't get many short yardage packages, and he threw a 70-yard touchdown and then a 60-yard touchdown. So, you know, I thought for days 1 through 3, Holman had the lead, in my opinion. Now, Dima was more impressed with Billy yesterday. So Holman was better day 1, day 2. Day 3, it was toss-up. And then today, Billy Wiles was lights out.
Yeah.
He was incredible today.
Yeah, I think you know, day one and two, it felt like it was kind of Holman. It felt like it was kind of Holman's job coming into fall camp. I think that was kind of the mantra that, you know, Billy coming from Clemson, Holman kind of already having experience at East Central Community College, having experience playing in a college atmosphere, transferred to Houston, didn't get a lot of playing time there, but came in with experience, whereas Billy Wiles, you know, he's a year younger than Holman. And so Holman kind of has him in that regard as far as age and wisdom and all the characteristics you need as a quarterback to play at Southern Miss. And, you know, first 2 days, it seemed like that. Even though Billy was getting first-team reps the same as Holman was, you know, there wasn't clear separation. But today I thought that, you know, Billy, today is being Saturday, it's day four, I thought that Billy showed clear separation. And there were times where, like, you know, it was weird because Holman wasn't in at certain points. He wasn't, like, throwing the ball as much as Billy was. And, Jackson, I know you were commenting that when we were sitting next to each other, that Billy was throwing it more than Holman. I don't know if there's a reason for that. We saw yesterday that Holman was getting his ankle taped, but Jackson, what do you think about that?
You know, it was weird, and I wanted to ask Coach Hall about it, but I ultimately decided against it, just to kind of leave it to figuring it out, I guess. But it was weird because Holman and Billy got the same amount of playing time. I think Holman may have gotten a little bit more.
Yeah.
But for two drives in a row, and for a total of about 10 plays, there was one pass play.
Yeah.
For a total of 10 plays, there was one pass play. And the first drive, which was five or six plays, it was a run play every single time. Holman just handed it off. And it was weird. It was weird to see because Billy had just come in before Holman, and there was not a single run play selected. So I don't know what the deal with the play calling was. I don't know what any of that is supposed to mean. But, you know, I mentioned it on the YouTube video. I'm a guy about data points. I'm a big guy about data points, and there was not much data on Holman, and whenever there was, the DBs were wrapping up the wide receivers. So Holman very rarely got any throws off. And when he did, it was in a hustle. But Billy Wiles, I don't know if it's because of the matchups were more favorable for wide receivers, if he got the ball out quicker, but it seems like Billy was far more decisive, far more accurate. And not only what we talked about yesterday with like the short yardage package, Billy was throwing bombs today.
Yeah. There was a really beautiful pass that Billy made to
Traquan Henderson.
It was an over-the-shoulder pass. It was just a gorgeous play. And he got it just right over the outstretched arm of one of the defenders. And those were plays that Will Hall wants to see, but he wants both of them to do it, but I didn't see Holman making those throws any of the 4 days, even the days that we saw that we said he was ahead. And Billy made those throws today, which I think shows him. And I know it's only day four, and they haven't been able to run full contact. And we'll know a lot. Tuesday's practice is going to be big. That's the first day they're able to run full contact and stuff like that, because they'll have full pads on. So we'll be able to see a lot from the quarterbacks. They're not going to hit the quarterbacks, obviously, but we're going to be able to see a lot when the DBs are a little bit more in your face when they're plowing over the offensive line. And we'll be able to see who needles it in because their receivers are going to get hit. You know, the receivers don't have red jerseys on generally. So I think we'll see a little bit more on Tuesday. Tuesday's going to be really interesting. But for now, it's all about where the ball is located when you throw it, right? It's not necessarily the route running, it's not necessarily how good of a spiral it might be. It's the accuracy when you're playing with just shoulder pads on. It's kind of like wrap up. It's not, I just hate wrap up practices. It never makes sense to me. I know they have to do it. But so it's more about accuracy. That's why when they throw the ball deep, they're normally running one-on-one receiver routes. They're not like, it's not, they generally don't go 11 on 11 and throw it deep. And So they'll go one-on-one receiver routes. I thought all the receivers just look really good right now. As we'll talk about later, Brandon Hayes looks incredible. Latrell Jones looks good. Jacaris Caston looks even faster than he was last year. Ty Mims looks good. And so the quarterbacks have all of these weapons, so you just need somebody to be able to put the ball in a more accurate spot, right? So you don't necessarily have to have a spectacular player who's going to be a Nick Mullins. Obviously, you would like, you wouldn't complain if you got that, but you would rather have someone where it's obviously just a bit better than it has been in the past couple of years. And I think Billy has shown that he can be that more than Holman in 4 days. Now, that's not saying that Billy's won the quarterback battle, and that's what the Fourth Street's predicting. We'll definitely have our predictions on who's going to win the quarterback battle in later shows. But if we had to pick a quarter, if they played DeMarro Jackson, Alcorn State, who's snapping the first snap?
If they play tomorrow, I would honestly say Holman. Mm-hmm. Because with an Alcorn State, you don't need to throw it. You don't need to put it on a laser. And Holman has that experience playing at quarterback. And all he needs to do is just do what he did today. Hand it off. Because in a game scenario where Southern Miss is heavily favored against an FCS opponent, you don't really need anything. You don't need anything crazy. You can just let Holman play, let him hand it off, do maybe one or two passes a drive, and just let things take its course, because Southern Miss does have that talent, especially at O-line, which we will get into later. Just let the running backs do their thing, let the offensive line do their thing, and just have someone there as a game manager. Honestly, if Southern Miss goes up against Alcorn State tomorrow, gets bumped up, I would feel the most comfortable putting in Jake Lang. Look, man, I'm a big Jake Lang fan. I think he should have been in contention to, like, at least participate in the QB battle, just because of the fact that he has that experience. He has that it factor when it comes to winning games when Southern Miss needs them won the most. Big Jake Lang guy on the Fourth Street Sports Show. But I would say Holman just as the game manager thing. But Billy Wiles is the most impressive, especially after today. As a whole, they're still even for me, Dima.
Yeah, and I think Jackson's answer is correct, because I was going to say Holman too. And I was using that example of look how close the quarterback battle is, because we're saying, you know, Billy, but if they play tomorrow, you know, we're putting in Holman, you know. So that's how close the quarterback battle is. And I think that everybody understands that, and Will even understands that. He was asked today, who's looked more impressive, I think, was the way it was phrased. You can phrase these questions so many different ways, but you're really just wanting the same answer, just for Will Hall to give a little bit more praise to one of them, so you can go, like, all of our journalist minds go, oh my goodness, that's it, that's our guy, you know. So, and that's not dogging on Will Hall, obviously. I'm just saying that all of our journalism minds want one guy. He wants it. If he says, did he say Billy first, or did he say Holman first? It was funny, Jackson, at Sunbelt Media Day, when we interviewed Will Hall, we asked how he feels about the quarterbacks and who's kind of coming out into fall camp on top. And he said, well, I'll say their names in alphabetical order. He was very clear that he was saying their names in alphabetical order. So it was pretty funny. But both these guys still competing for the job, but I would say who's winning fall camp, Billy Wiles. Who I would start tomorrow, Holman Edwards, which I think shows how close the battle is.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It's neck and neck. They have Sunday off. If you see Monday, and you see Dima tweeting out that Holman Edwards looks far better and Billy Wiles took a step back, or this, that, or the other, Don't be surprised in the slightest. This is incredibly close. It's super highly contested. I'm just so I'm so glad as someone who wants to see Southern Miss succeed. You know what I mean? I'm so glad to see that there are this many good QBs and that they are that close. But it makes that decision really hard, and it makes the prediction really hard.
And also, the QB room is very deep. Like, I think that's another thing that to me seems very different about this season. You take out, heaven forbid, we're not speaking this in existence, but with the history of the past 2 years, you at least have, at least goes through your mind. I mean, the chance of them running the super back last year in game one, we were laughing. I remember me, Charlie Jackson, and Austin and Nathan from last year's crew were laughing at what would it be like if they ran like super back for like the second half or something. And you know what they did? They ran super back for the second half.
That's awesome.
So, you know, you would hope obviously that it never happens again where they have to go to multiple quarterbacks. But if heaven forbid something happens to whoever the starter is, you have Holman or Billy next up, which you see how close this is. They're basically the same player. And then right after that, man, Zach Wilkie, he's throwing great deep balls, Jackson. His deep ball is one of the best out of all of them, and he has good footwork, and he has experience in the collegiate level. We talked to him. You asked the question to Will Hall today about Zach Wilkie, and he kind of said that Zach's good. The only thing that hesitates him on Zach is his kind of mental capabilities as far as mentally thinking about the game and stuff. And I think that makes sense. In my opinion, I feel like, you know, it might be a good idea to redshirt him. I know I've said that on the YouTube videos. I wanted to say it on the podcast. You know, you kind of threw him into the fire. Actually, if you've listened to the show for the past few weeks, we had Phil Steele on, which was a terrific interview, by the way. Unbelievable. And really, really great interview. Really good interview with Phil Steele. Jackson, I'm hoping you listen to my interview with Phil Steele.
Actually, no, Dima. If I'm not on it, I actually just remove it from my feed. I get so pissed at. No, I'm kidding. No.
You should have seen my face when he said that.
So, Dima looked at me of like, why did I even. Dima looked at me for a second of like, oh, so I'm just going to be covering sports by myself.
You're fine.
That's what I'm going to be doing. But it was a great interview. It was a great interview. It was really exciting to have such a big name on a show like this, like, you know, run by students. And I was heartbroken that I had to work. And like I was working like a 60-hour week, and then I get a text from Dima. He's like, hey, are you gonna be able to be on the show? And I was like, no way, today is Friday.
Nah.
And he's like, Yeah, I know, it's at 10:30. And I'm like, I've been working since 8. But it was a great interview, and it really gave you know, I have been known on this show and in real life and in most aspects regarding Southern Miss sports, which, again, I hope succeeds, that I've been overly optimistic. But this gave a realistic prediction that would still make someone who's an overly optimistic or overly a homer very excited. Because one thing that I think people are neglecting to think about and to talk about is that this is the most difficult schedule in the group of five, period.
Definitely one.
Period. Like, you know, week two, Florida State. Week three, home Tulane, right?
Yeah.
And then home games against, a home game against Troy to close out the season. Away games at Louisiana. Away games at South Alabama, App State. You have South Alabama and at App State. Two away games in a row, and then at Mississippi State, and then versus Troy to close out the season. Like, Louisiana, Mississippi State, Troy, that's three games in a row. That is exhausting. Oof. That is exhausting. So unless something really, really changes, Southern Miss could be twice the team they were last year, and they could only go 7-5. And I would still say that is a roaring success of a season. They could go 6-6, and I would say they are twice the team that they were last year because of the difficulty of this schedule. And I think most people, whenever they look at that schedule and look at the teams that they're going up against, could agree.
Yeah, definitely. The schedule is very tough. I think it's the mantra of this season is they're going to be a better team roster-wise, but it might not be the same as far as the schedule looking like? I was mentioning Phil Steele to go back to what I was talking about, but mentioning Phil Steele because he even mentioned that Zach Wilkie should be a redshirt in that interview, and I think so. I think Zach. I mean, if you have Zach Wilkie as a redshirt, you come back next year. Say Billy wins the job. I assume Billy would be back next season to play, and so then the next year you have another QB battle. So that'd be 2025 with Ethan Crawford and Zach Wilkie both battling it out, I think, because Ethan Crawford looks really good for a true freshman. He looks really good. The quarterback room is very, very deep, and I think everybody should be very excited about what Will Hall has done with that QB room in the time he's been here. So, anything else on the QB battle? Anything I missed, Jackson?
No, I think we covered all our bases. I would just say, you know, the fact that we haven't mentioned Jake Lang, Austin Gonzalez, and even barely mentioned Ethan Crawford, and talked about Zach Wilkie a little bit, but talked about him redshirting. That goes to show you the depth of this QB room, because, you know, talk about talent or no talent or lack of or whatever. Just about every single one of these guys, outside of maybe Austin Gonzalez for lack of experience, I would feel confident starting them week one against Alcorn State, you know? Any of them, I would feel confident, especially with the support staff that they have. But these guys, every single person in this QB room has the potential to grow and to be a bona fide D1 starter.
Very, very, very possible. All right, so let's go into one guy who's really stood out so far in fall camp to each of us. And then, so we'll get into that in a second, but for now we'll take a break. Thanks for listening to 4th Street. We'll be right back on 4th Street Sports Show. Back on 4th Street Sports Show here with Jackson Kennedy and Dima Mixon. Let's talk about one player, Jackson, who's really stood out during fall camp, and then we'll get into the last segment, which is driving the bus. We'll pick one player on offense and defense who are driving the bus forward this season. Jackson, who's your one player who stood out the most to you in fall camp?
Well, so I've got to choose someone that I'm not driving the bus for.
Again,
if I got to choose the rules of this, my bus would be packed to the brim, Dima. I'd have just about everybody up in there, and I'd be swinging through the streets of Hattiesburg. However, one player that's really stood out to me is Kenyon Clay. He is physically imposing, and by physically imposing, Dima, I mean he is terrifying. I've said it multiple times before. I've said it to strangers that I talk to. Like, a D lineman should be scared to go up against this guy. Kenyon Clay, his footwork, it looks great. He looks like he's developed a lot in the offseason because, you know, he was just kind of there for short yardage packages in the couple of games that he did play because Will Hall wanted to preserve his redshirt year. They didn't want to waste the year of eligibility. But whenever he did appear, he was a dog. And that's been shown now. That has been shown now. He looks fantastic. His footwork's great. He is super, super strong. He's gotten a lot faster, and I feel like just that redshirt year and that offseason under Frank Gore Jr., under these running backs, he's kind of learning he's going to be the running back too, and that, for how good he is, for how good the rest of the running backs are, that's my reason of why I don't know if Frank Gore Jr. will break that single-season record because he may not have to. He may not have to be an every-down back.
Yeah, Kenyon Clay's looked really good. We've talked about every time we're out at practice, we're like, oh, there's Kenyon Clay. He's running, making good cuts. We were out actually on the new turf today at the Rock. It's really nice. It's a really nice field. I think it's also cooler. I was noticing when we were standing out there for the 11-on-11s, right out in the sun, the turf wasn't burning my feet or anything like the last one did. I think it's a lot cooler on the field, which I think is really good, especially for fall camp and some games in September. But yeah, Kenyon Kelly looks really good in the running back room. I feel like that running back room is really deep. I mean, Frank Gore Jr. and Drake Clark, and then Kenyon Clay, and Tavis Willis, all of those guys in there, just really, really good running back room. I think today they were even running some sets where they're handing it off to Jacarius Caston in the running back. He was taking reps at running back. which I thought was interesting. My guy who one person, one player who stood up to me in the past 4 days would be Latrell Jones at the wide receiver core. And again, we're just saying these some players to let you know that we thought stood out, but we'll be driving the bus here in a second for the players we think will do well this season. But Latrell Jones, man, he made a just terrific catch on, I think it was the first day of practice. It was like a one-handed, reminded me a lot of Jason Brownlee's that you've probably seen floating around Twitter. And what an insane catch he made. And he's always beating his man. He's always open. But when he's not open, he's making contested catches, which I think is so important for that wide receiver room. He looks bigger. He looks stronger. He looks faster. And he's really stood out to me. They didn't really go to the other receivers that much last year. It was basically the story of, hey, let's throw it up to Jason Brownlee and see what happens. And then, Jason Brownlee generally caught it. But I think it's just going to be unique to see them kind of distribute the ball more, because really, honestly, we haven't seen that. I mean, because, well, first of all, they didn't really have a quarterback in the first year of Will Hall's tenure. But last year, nobody really was able to get open because nobody respected the run game until late. And so that's why you saw such a drop-off from Jason Brownlee's numbers all the way down to the second place finisher in receiving yards. I think Latrell Jones has a good chance of being the leading receiver on this team. I think Jake Karius-Kasson has a chance to be the leading receiver on this team. I think Ty Mims does. I think Brandon Hayes does. You know, all these players, all of them could be leading receivers, and I think that speaks to the depth in the running back room. And I think that's the biggest takeaway I think I have from fall camp so far, is all of these position rooms outside of maybe safety. You feel like, well, if he comes off the field, they're fine with the guy they need to put in there. Avery Hobbs, we haven't even mentioned this, for the linebacker. You know, I'm sure you've seen by now, but, you know, he's out for fall camp for an undisclosed injury and an undisclosed period of time. But, man, I mean, there are linebackers with T.K. Newsom, Swayze Bozeman, and Hayes Maples. They're like, okay, well, we'll be happy when he comes back, but we're good. They would never have been able to do that in year one. Like, that's not even a realistic thing. So once one injury happened, the whole season was just derailed. But now this year, if heaven forbid some of these starters on offense, such as Ty Mims or Frank Gore or whoever it is, goes out for a certain period of time, Kenyon Clay is in, you know, Brandon Hayes is in, whoever's the second person up, I think speaks to the depth. And that's the biggest takeaway I have. But Latrell Jones, to me, is the one player who stood out the most in fall camp. Let us know in the comments, or let us know on Twitter who you think is going to stand out during fall camp, and we'll let you know. So, Jackson, are you ready to drive the bus?
Dima, I am pulling into the station right now on the Golden Eagle Express. And, brother, I've got two guys that I'm driving the bus for. But first, the first trip we're going to make is offense. And right now I have pulled into the station, the doors are open, and I am driving the bus for none other than Brandon Hayes. I said this on the YouTube video, I'm saying it now.
The ghost YouTube video, because it will never be posted.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. Yeah, okay, yes. I was like, oh, it's a little funny we're doing this segment, it's a little redundant. And then Dima and I recorded two great YouTube videos, probably like my better appearance
here
on camera.
Here we go.
Yeah. Here we go, you know, one of my better appearances on camera, or best appearance on camera, wasn't half as awkward. Actually was concise, all of this stuff, and then it just didn't record. It was great. But anyways, well, to tell you, I am driving the bus for Brandon Hayes. This guy is a dog in every sense of the word. Dima, have you seen him drop a pass in camp? I'm sure that he has, because it's rare for someone not to. Nothing sticks out in my mind of him dropping a pass. Sticks out in my mind of him really doing anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
He has been on fire, and I mentioned this in the non-recorded YouTube video, but every single person that I have talked to and that Dima has talked to, they've immediately just like talked and raved about him.
Yeah.
They they've given so much praise to him. And I mentioned this again on the YouTube video, so I'm trying to correct myself for repeating myself, but technically I'm not.
yeah, they don't know the YouTube video you're referring to.
But anyways, these guys, what they did, and whenever you talk with somebody and you say, hey, what about this guy? If they don't really like him, if they don't care much, they're just going to give you a one-word answer. Oh, yeah, he's good. No one has said that about Brandon Hayes. They have talked for 30 seconds to 2 minutes. Will Hall nearly got emotional talking about him. Just like, hey, like, for what this guy has been through in his life, for what he's had to deal with injuries and stuff going on over his life, if anybody deserves a breakout season, if anybody deserves a great season, it's Brandon Hayes. And the more that I've watched him, because, you know, fun Jackson fact, I was at a different college for my first 2 years before I transferred to USM. And my girlfriend's a Dixie darling, and she was like, look, like, Brandon Hayes is good. And I was like, really? She's like, oh, yeah. And watching him in fall camp, I mean, I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to call it. I don't want to sound too much like a homer. He's got NFL-level talent. He's got NFL-level speed. He's got catches. If he has a breakout season, I could see him this year or next year getting drafted or signing an undrafted free agent deal. And if he does, we've seen what happens with guys from Southern Miss who are given a chance. I'm driving the bus for Jason Brownlee. I already drove that one. It parked in the station. So I was going to make a Jason Brownlee comparison about undrafted free agent deals and all that. We're tired. Anyways, I am driving the bus for Brandon Hayes. He's a dog. He's incredible. And he's set to have a breakout season.
I like that pick. You know, Jackson actually stole mine. No, I'm kidding. But I think that's a great pick because, like I was saying a minute ago, with all of the depth in the wide receiver room, all of these guys can have breakout years, but it's the guy who's going to be kind of the Jason Brownlee-esque replacement, if I dare even mention that word with Jason Brownlee, that they're able to throw up in one-on-one coverage, and they're able to you know, dish the ball out when they need a one-on-one play fade in the back of the end zone or something. I think it's a great pick, and so from now on, we're referencing Brandon Hayes as your guy, Jackson. That's your guy. You're driving the bus for him.
That is my guy. So 100% of the time.
So if he, you know, drops a pass, that's on you.
If B. Hayes ever drops a pass, do not get on Twitter talking about him. Just tag me and take out all of your anger, because I'm telling you, that is my guy.
Yeah. All right, let me get into my offensive player. So, you know, I said this on the Phantom YouTube video as well. This season seems like there's a lot of talk about these wide receivers, right? You, Brandon Hayes, great drive the bus pick. You have Jacarius Kasten. You have Ty Mims. You have Latrell Jones. You have the younger receivers that we were talking about who Billy Wiles nailed that perfect throw into, right? But I think people are kind of sleeping on the tight ends. I really feel that. So I'm driving the bus for Cole Cavallo this season. And the reason I'm driving the bus for Cole Cavallo this season, we do this because it's like, it's the name that we're naming that people may not know that well, or they haven't heard that much, but in November, you're going to be hearing it a lot. And I'm driving the bus for Cole Cavallo. In 2021, when Southern Miss went on the road to play Alabama, they played Alabama. It was Bryce Young's first year. It was actually Ty Keyes back then in the quarterback position, and it was his first start for Southern Miss. They used the tight end in that game so much. It was crazy. And that's really the first time we've been able to see Will Hall's offense in flourish in the way he likes to run it. All throughout fall camp, we've seen the rollout to the right or the left and looking for a deep post route. If it's not there, dump it off to the tight end. Cole Cavallo is really good. Like, he is really good in the tight end position. He's not as big as a tight end as they've used to have, but he's fast and he's still very physical. Like, he's not going to, like, physically impose you. He's a big guy, but he's not, like, 6'5", 215 like some tight ends are. You know, he's a little bit smaller, but it kind of helps him because he can kind of develop in the slot. And I feel like he's going to be easy to find for a five-yard completion. Or he's either like fourth and two when they really need 2 yards and they don't want to run it up the middle. Man, slip out Cole Cavallo. He's making that catch, man. You know, so in important moments of the game, Cole Cavallo is going to be in. Cole Cavallo is going to make plays in big games this season, and you're going to hear his name. I will mark down that Cole Cavallo has 7-plus touchdowns this season. 7-plus touchdowns for Cole Cavallo. That, I know that seems high because that means he's going to have to, like, you know, people are going to have to, like, throw him the ball, which is, you know, hard to believe after the past 2 years. But
the mic didn't pick it up, but I just heard, like, a little dial-up sound coming from Dima's brain trying to process the fact that balls may be thrown this season.
What a sentence. But anyway, so... this is 4th Street After Dark, even though it's still light outside. But I'm going 7 touchdowns this season, Jackson. Yeah, I'm driving the bus for him. You got to mark down a bold stat with Brandon Hayes.
All right, bold stat for B. Hayes. I'm saying game one against Alcorn State, B. Hayes has 100 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns. That's what I'm marking out. And I could see it go higher, especially just because of that speed. You know, like, Alcorn State is a fun team. I love watching them. I love their band. I love the fans.
Sonic Boom.
But that talent differential between the FCS and FBS level, they may not be ready for the type of speed that Brandon Hayes possesses. I could see him getting, like, I mean, if you wanted to go crazy, I could see him getting, like, 150, 200 yards. But I would say mark it down as a safe pick, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. But season-wise, Brandon Hayes, 10, 15 touchdowns this season, mark that down easy. If you are a betting man, mark that down. This guy is going to – there are going to be a lot of 16 jerseys by the end of the season.
We're going to have a podcast next week. We're going to be going through 6 different questions, and we're going to be marking down our predictions on all of them. And it's all going to end with, is Southern Miss going to win the Sun Belt? So we're going to go, which player will have the most passing yards, which is going to be a fun discussion. Because first off, we're going to have to pick who's going to win the QB battle and if they will still be the QB at the end of the season. Okay. Then we're going to talk about which running back will have the most rushing yards, which I'm assuming we're both going to have the same answer to that. But and then we're going to pick receiver, who has the most receiving yards. We're going to pick who has the most sacks this year. We're going to pick who has the most interceptions this year. We're going to pick who has the most tackles for loss this season. We're going to have 6 questions that we're going to pick. And then the 7th is, will Southern Miss win the Sun Belt at the end? So be looking forward to that podcast next week. So that's kind of a preview. We kind of marked down some stats there, what we think. So that's our offensive players we're driving the bus for. Jackson, let's go back to the bus station. But this is the Nasty Bunch station. I don't know. What do you even do at a bus station?
Jesus, man. Homeschoolers. All right. So
I was fixing to say you need to go get like a pretzel or something, but
that's awesome. I want to see that mental image of just like somebody
eating,
like,
a pretzel at a bus station,
and then somebody like some little 4-year-old riding a tricycle, licking one of those like lollipops out of like a cartoon.
I could go for that, some cotton candy, man.
Dude, I'm hungry as all get out. Anyways, pulling up to the bus station as someone who knows what a bus station looks like, whipping up, I have opened the door. And man, there are a lot of defenders that I would be more than happy to drive the bus for. But I got to go with the guy that I got the pleasure of talking to yesterday. I got to go with the guy that I feel confident in not only his leadership, but his talent. Because, you know, there's a lot of big names that are going to be in this Nasty Bunch that people are looking out for. But I'm driving the bus for somebody who's a new addition to the roster, but has the talent to, just like for B. Hayes, there may be a lot of number 11 jerseys out there for the defense. I am driving the bus for my man MJ Daniels. If Brandon Hayes is my guy as the wide receiver for the offense, in the backfield, Jay Stanley, I loved talking to him. That's my guy. But for a DB, for a cornerback, MJ Daniels, that is my guy. I am driving the bus for MJ Daniels. He is talented. He is a leader. He coaches up everybody. He's always smiling. There is raving reviews in terms of just how he is, the type of person, the type of player he is, from Will Hall, from everybody else. MJ Daniels, I'm driving the bus for him. He's a great guy. I've talked to him a couple times. I love his style of play. I love his style of leadership. And I'm marking it down by week six. So the first five games, as we're entering week six, in the first five games, MJ Daniels, two interceptions, mark it down.
Wow.
And that is who I'm pulling out of the bus station with. We're driving straight to MM Roberts Stadium to where he can get those two interceptions in the first game against Alcorn.
Yeah, and his pretzel. yeah, that's a good pick. I'm also going to go in the safety room as well. This is my guy. I pointed him out to you, Jackson, and I told you, I said, when we do the Drive the Bus podcast, I'm picking him.
Yeah.
It's a name that you may not know. It really is, because he's a transfer from Mississippi State, and his name is Dylan Lawrence. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do not know that name when I'm saying his name on this podcast, I guarantee you, I can actually guarantee it. There's very few things I can guarantee in life. Jackson, there's very few things I can guarantee in life. Isn't that just such a great statement? It's such a factual statement. The one thing I can guarantee you in life is that you're going to be knowing Dylan Lawrence's name by probably week two. So this man is ginormous. He's a safety. He's well over 6 feet, 215. He is a physical monster. If he was running at me, I would be curling dead in a ball. I think I would physically implode. There wouldn't be anything left of Dima. You would get no more coverage from Dima Mixon, because if he was running at me, that would be the end of my life. Very few things. I would also guarantee that in my life. There's very few things I can guarantee. Number one is that you're going to know Dylan Lawrence's name, and I would die if he was running at me. So, man, I think he's set for a breakout season. Him and Jay Stanley in the safeties, man, that is a just awful safety pairing in a position area where coming into the season we had severe questions about, losing Eric Scott Jr. and Natron Brooks back there. You were like, man, who are they going to replace? I know you got Jay Stanley back, but who's going to be, the other guy there? And Dylan Lawrence is going to fit in nicely. I predict that he will have, I don't know how many interceptions he'll have, but I predict he'll have five interceptions this season, which I feel like that's a pretty good prediction.
I'm going to add on to yours. Because this backfield is so good, I predict there are going to be two games or less this entire season that someone has over 300 passing yards against this team. I know that's
very bold.
I know that's a bold prediction, but if Dylan Lawrence and Jay Stanley are both at the safety, who the heck is going to try and throw a deep ball?
I think most teams. Honestly.
Most teams are going to try, yeah?
Southern Miss is in practice.
However, they have to. They have to run those drills. But, man, I don't know. It's a bold prediction. If you want me to be more realistic, I will bump it up to four games or less. four games or less with 300 yards, four games or less with 300 yards or more passing, because this backfield is so stacked.
The backfield's good. The secondary is my number one surprise coming out of fall camp. I think people are questioning the secondary, but I really honestly feel pretty comfortable with how it looks right now. Those are the players we're driving the bus for. Jackson, we're leaving the bus station now, but we're going to see what happens this season. So we're in our bus. We're leaving the bus station. Jackson's on the Brandon Hayes and MJ Daniels bus. I'm on the Cole Cavallo and Dylan Lawrence bus. Let us know which bus you're on. We'd love to hear your feedback. That's it for the serious talk. We want to get into a goofy thing. So if you don't want to hear goofy, you can turn off the podcast.
I see. I don't know what Dima has planned right now, so I'm excited. You should probably stick around.
The only thing I want to talk about with you, Jackson, is yesterday Okay.
Uh-huh.
We were at practice.
Uh-huh.
And I said, man, there's few things in life that are better than a Subway sandwich. And you were like, man, I could think of a few things. And I said that the Subway is the best fast food restaurant in America. Austin Lindsay, who was the former host of the show, might I add, agreed with me. Just so you know, you can't see him, but Jackson just emphatically crossed his arms and leaned back in his seat, shaking his head. Subway is definitely the best fast food restaurant.
I don't know, dude. Okay, Dima, I'm gonna break it down with you real simple. I know that I like to drag things out. I know that I like to explain things. I'm gonna tell you right now. I'm not even looking. I know the mic is picking this up because I'm talking loudly. I am not angling my face towards the mic whenever I say this. Dima Mixon, my brother in Christ. If you think Subway is so good, let me introduce you to the grocery store. You can do it yourself for a lot cheaper and for better. Like, I know that you probably saw the advertisement of like, oh, Subway's cutting their meat fresh. That means that they cut it in a factory and shipped it to the store pre-cut. Now they're finally slicing their meat to get some positive PR outside of Steph Curry and Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. Dude, if you want, that's not even fast food. It's just asking some, oh my God, I'm getting so pissed off right now. Why do you think Subway, look, okay, I'm not gonna lie. The meatball sub is incredible. I love the meatball sub. It is a guilty pleasure of mine. But like everything else, you can just make, I can make a meatball sub at home too. It is so easy. If look, if fast food is something that is a guilty pleasure of yours, it tastes good, and it's something you can get quickly, while at the same time, it's like, you can get it easier and quicker than making it yourself. It takes so much time to go out of your way to get a Subway when you could just make it yourself. Dude, I will take you to Corner Market right now, and I can guarantee you that we will have a better sandwich experience than that of Subway. And
well, what's your alternative? What's the best fast food?
Dude, there is a litany of ones that are better. All right, look. Oh, my God. It is so hard to offend me. My friends and I make fun of each other relentlessly and just say abhorrent things to each other, as college students do. That offended me. that you said that Subway is the best fast food place. Like, out of the list, hell, out of, oh my God. Out of the fast food places, in Hattiesburg alone, there are like eight. I will list off five fast food places in Hattiesburg that are better than Subway right now.
Do it.
Cookout.
No.
Cane's.
No.
Zaxby's.
No.
Chick-fil-A.
No.
Are you kidding me?
I do not like Chick-fil-A at all.
You don't? Do you go to Temple?
Yeah.
How do you go to Temple and you don't like Jesus chicken? That's like the barrier to entry.
I am allergic to egg, so I can't actually, I can't have Cane's, Zaxby's, or Chick-fil-A.
So no wonder you like Subway. Your diet consists of terrible food anyways. If you can't have eggs, I forgot about that because I was like, hey, Dima, we were at Sunbelt Media Day. I was like, hey, you want me to grab you a muffin? This blueberry muffin's incredible. And my fat self just wanted an excuse to go grab a second one. And he was like, oh no, I can't have eggs. And I was like, oh great. Trips with you to away games are going to be a treat. Just eating, oh my God.
We're going to Salad Station.
Oh my, I'm going to hit you.
I would say Salad Station and Subway are the two best.
Dude, oh my God.
Lunch spots. Dude, other than Del Sol.
Dima, you are just a rabbit, I think. You're just like, oh, green thing? Let me just eat it. No, fast food is not, I can't even comprehend this right now.
All right, like, well, we're going to end it there before.
Wendy's is better. Wendy's is incredible.
Wendy's sucks.
I'm going to throw something at you. We need to end this right now.
Yeah, I hesitated to open Pandora's box because for some reason, Jackson, you know, he has very keen opinions on food. Why did I just, my voice just cracked.
It's like you're just calling him fast. Dima just looks at me and he goes, Jackson is very keen, and then just side eyes me, looks at me up and down, and goes, keen opinions on food. As if he was just calling me the most overweight person on the planet. That was incredible. All right.
I hope you sticked around for that. Whew, that was wild. Thanks so much for listening. This has been the 4th Street Sports Show brought to you by Southern Miss Student Media. Go to the website, sm2.com, to see all of our coverage from fall camp. Go to the YouTube page to see our videos on the field, more of this banter, talking about fall camp. You can also find all the interviews there. Look for more things coming up. We'll be back in the studio, back on Southern Miss Radio, August 21st. That's our first in-studio radio show, so be looking forward to that. But for now, for Jackson Kennedy, I'm Dia Mixon, and that was the 4th Street Sports Show.
Thank you for listening to the 4th Street Sports Show. We'll see you on the field or in your headphones real soon. And as always, Southern Miss to the top.